Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking once again with Sheila Ames. As you may recall, Sheila is a registered nurse and the founder of Ames Alchemy Coaching, which can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Sheila's talking to us again today about, this time, migraines. Welcome to the show, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, thanks so much for having me back. Glad to be here.
Good.
Great. And thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, when did you first start experiencing migraines?
I was pretty young, which I know is more unusual than other people, because migraines is actually pretty common. There's a lot of people who say that they've suffered from migraines. I know I was diagnosed at the age of 8.
Ooh,
and I'm sure I probably had them a year prior to diagnosis while they were still trying to figure it out. I did try to reach out to my parents to find out exactly, because, you know, who recalls exactly the details when you're 7 years old. So,
right.
That's my approximate time frame there.
Wow. Having migraines at 8, that must have been especially difficult because you were so young. How often were you getting them at the time, and what were your symptoms?
Again, I had to refer to my parents to get a better idea as far as the frequency. They seemed to be infrequent. I could get a couple in the month, and then there could be several months that passed by without getting any of them. But at that age, they were severe. You know, of course, when you're younger, your interpretation and experience on pain is less. And so when you do experience any kind of pain, it's going to be, you know, more of a dramatic experience for you versus pain in your adulthood after you've had many experiences with pain. But from my parents' recollection, a lot of crying, a lot of, you know, them trying to soothe me without any kind of, any kind of relief on my side, and, you know, a lot of them feeling helpless, you know, like nobody wants to see their child in pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the worst, you know, some of the worst stuff as a parent to have to deal with is to, you know, see their child in pain and wish that you could take it on for them so that they didn't have to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
And did they know right away? You said it was about a year. So were they trying to determine what was going on?
They were trying to determine. I went to my primary doctor at the time, my pediatrician, and always whenever there's, you know, a migraine issue, especially when it's more of a rare kind of situation, they want to rule out other problems that could be going on. So I did get into, I ended up getting referred to a pediatric neurologist.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, so you had testing and stuff done with him or her?
I did. I actually remember that. I remember having to go into the hospital, having an EEG, so where you get all the little suction cups all over your head, and my memory of it felt like hours and hours and hours of having to sit there.
Sure.
You know, you're not allowed to cough, you're not allowed to speak, sneeze, you know, of course some reactions happen, but, you know, as long as possible of not moving, not, you know, holding your eyes tight, not doing anything but sitting there. That was hard as a child at like 7, 8 years old to have to do. And then a head CT to make sure that there wasn't some kind of growth or tumor or something like that going on that might explain severe headaches as well.
Okay.
And I have a question. Do you think your experiences as a young child helped influence, or not help, but influenced your decision to go into healthcare as an adult?
Ooh, good question. I never thought of that.
Okay.
But it's funny because, you know, I have this childhood memory book that my mom filled out every single year. And every year it's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I was actually one of those kids that knew from the get-go that I was going to be a nurse.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so when I go back and read, I'm like, really? Except for 1 year, third grade, I wanted to be an astronaut.
Okay. Oh. You could be an astronaut nurse.
Right? I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Why not? Okay. I love that. Right. And I love that she was constantly, you know, like tracking it because, you know, you lose track of time and it flies by. So that's fantastic. Right. Mm-hmm.
Are there certain types of migraines that are typical in children?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that. There's several different types of migraines. Of course, I have experienced a lot of the different kinds. Mm-hmm. I pretty much always have hemiplegic, so one-sided, and there's not one side that I get more so than the other. So, you know, 1 month I could get one on the left side and then another month I could get one on the right side. I haven't found any correlation for myself.
Okay.
I have had the horrible ocular or ophthalmologic, you know, it's hard to tell exactly which it is, but it feels like an ice pick going to your eyeball to the back of your brain. I have, fortunately, I haven't had a whole lot of those. Those are crazy intense. Vestibular, which is more of the nausea vomiting, that happens often. And, I think those are the ones that I'm most familiar with in my experience that I've had. And I recall, I don't think I've had the ocular as a child, but definitely as an adult I have.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. When before I started having migraines, because mine were related to a TBI, I thought a migraine was just like a bad headache. And then I started having migraines and I was like, oh, it's a bad headache with nausea and vomiting. And now I know, having them for years, I'm like, oh, it is a whole host of fun stuff that comes with it. That
the brain fog afterwards. And
there's just so many things related to it. I always thought a migraine was a migraine was a migraine. And it's fascinating to learn that there are just so many different types of migraine. And each individual will have experienced different signs and symptoms.
Well, that actually goes into the next question I was going to ask. As you've gotten older, how have your migraines changed? Do you have them as frequently? And are your symptoms the same or are they different?
You know, pain-wise, I would say the frequency of the level of intensity have decreased with my years. But then again, that might be perspective, you know, a child's perspective, you know, versus an adult's perspective. The frequency has changed as well. I think when I hit puberty and all the, you know, intense flux of hormones and changes and all of that, that they were definitely more frequent through puberty. And then as I got into my 20s, 30s, they did decrease. I have definitely, I know I shared a little bit prior to us recording, been working with diet and lifestyle changes, and diet definitely makes it a difference. So, you know, there's certain factors, you know, and also stress levels, of course, certain jobs and stress factors. So, there's a lot of variables, but overall, yes, they have decreased in time, I would say.
Well, that's good.
That is good. And Sheila, do you know when you're going to be getting a migraine? Like when you're in that prodrome stage of your migraine, do you experience any telltale symptoms?
Honestly, I can say most of the time I don't catch it.
Okay.
You know, even though I've been dealing this with many years as a child, I didn't really realize or understand. I just knew that the slight bit of headache of any kind, just take your migraine meds.
Okay.
Just in case. Right. Yeah.
Just in case. And, you know, over time, I've kind of learned how to progress with my medications, you know, starting with over the counters. If I catch it early on, kind of what stage am I in? Am I early? Am I middle? Am I late? You know, the prodrome before the pain comes on. I have noticed yawning, I didn't realize until I was an adult. You know, slight nausea sometimes will hit me, the light noise sensitivity, and trouble focusing, of course, is also something, but I don't always attach it to, oh, I must be having a migraine.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if this is the best way to put it, but any unusual symptoms, or what's the best word to use, that are caused by your migraines, or anything that surprises you from them?
There's a lot of really good information about causes and triggers for migraines. I don't know that anything necessarily surprises me. You know, of course, processed meats, nitrates, aspartame, which is in a lot of diet drinks.
I've heard that.
Can affect me. Aged cheeses. I've just given up all dairy altogether anyway because of other not just migraine, but other digestive issues.
Sure.
And other reasons. But something that's interesting that I have found that I didn't realize before is how much vomiting helps my migraines.
Oh, yeah. I love to vomit when I get a migraine.
I know it's kind of gross and disgusting for people to think
about. It's like a relief valve, right?
Well, it is. And what I've learned since becoming a nurse is that when you vomit, you're actually stimulating the vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and okay. The vagus,
okay.
Yeah. And so, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. That stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system, which can help decrease heart rate, can help decrease pain, can help decrease, your blood pressure and breathing. Okay. And so since then, I've actually learned some vagus nerve breathing techniques that help a lot when I'm in a migraine.
Oh, okay.
Good.
And I don't think I've ever seen that posted, but that's a fantastic idea.
That's a good hint.
Yes, I'm going to look that up right after the show because I'm in a migraine right now.
Yeah, yeah. I could totally teach you now or later. I teach all of my clients actually because so many people experience anxiety and so many other things. So I'm totally open to doing like a quick breathing exercise if you want to learn it. But outside of that, as a child, I started to learn to self-induce vomiting, which is not something I recommend because there's issues with bulimia and whatnot with that. Mm-hmm. But that was something that was kind of surprising that I started to do on a rare occasion at that extreme pain. Because when you're at that extreme pain, you need relief and you need to find how.
Wow.
To get relief if your medications aren't working for you. And, like I said, I don't recommend it, but that was something that was surprising to me.
One thing that I remember is, and that's why they probably have the Imitrex injectables, that it would always bother me that, I took whatever medication I was supposed to be taking, but now I threw up. I probably threw up the medication. Right. So now I don't have any medication in me. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. But the injectables, I think, kind of get over that hump of, you don't need to ingest it. You could just give yourself a shot, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, and there's also suppositories for stuff.
Okay. Suppositories,
too.
Yes.
Just saying.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit, but you had mentioned about giving up, dairy for various reasons and so forth. Is there anything that you're aware of that tends to trigger your migraines, or do they just come happenstance?
Well, alcohol, dairy, especially aged cheeses, which I love. Yeah. They're so tasty. They're so good. Processed meats like pepperoni, sausage, things like that. And then of course the aspartame, those are specifically dietary that I have recognized as being my triggers. Peanuts, not so much, which I know is a common trigger. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't seem to affect me.
Okay. But how about storms? If a storm is rolling in,
pressure. Absolutely.
Okay.
The pressure change, right?
Okay.
Yeah, the barometric pressure change. And I also was diagnosed with fibromyalgia as an adult.
Right.
And they're actually very related because they both have a connection of low serotonin levels.
Okay.
Both fibromyalgia and migraines. And they're both affected by barometric pressure changes for me.
Okay. And Sheila, do migraines run in your family by any chance?
Yeah. Okay. There's, my aunt, I know, had a lot of migraines. And there was a couple other people as well. I can't recall off the top of my head, but yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. And when you first started experiencing migraines when you were 8, how were they treating your symptoms at that point?
At the time, I was prescribed what's called Midrin. It's no longer on the market. You can get it formulated through a compound pharmacy.
Okay.
But there's another one that's currently on the market, Furanol.
Okay.
That is very similar to Midrin. Mm-hmm. And then Darvocet was my opioid that I was prescribed when they would get severe, which Darvocet is no longer on the market, but it's basically Tylenol and hydrocodone mixed. And now we've got Norco. as the difference. And I've tried sumatriptan, I've tried Imitrex, the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the side effects are too intense for me on those, okay. So I don't take any of the triptans.
Okay.
But they work great. I know. I mean, it did work for my migraines, but too many harsh side effects for me that I wasn't able to continue on those.
So okay. Is there anything that you're using more frequently or more common now? I mean,
because the last couple of years, I mean, it seemed like there were no preventative or emergency medications available, and in the last 3 years a whole bunch have come onto the market, right? There's a whole bunch of new treatments.
There is. I've tried I can't even recall what it's called, a medication. It ended up having a lot of side effects that I ended up going off a preventative medication.
Okay.
Now I take magnesium daily as preventative.
Right. Okay.
And then I have kind of a whole array of medications that I go through depending on what stage. Like I'll start with Excedrin migraine. Mm-hmm. And if I catch it low and early enough, that will be fine. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll work up to the Fiorinol if I need to. I also give myself an intramuscular injection in the buttocks if I have to, of Toradol, which is what you would get if you were to go to the ER. A lot of times is they'll give you Toradol and Benadryl and a concoction of different things. But I'm proud to say I've never actually gone to the ER because I've learned how to manage my migraines from an early time. And I know pain and I know how to experience it, how to work through and how to live with it, you know, and ERs are loud and they're bright.
Oh, I know.
And it usually takes at least 4 hours in my experience before you actually get treatment, because they want to make sure, it's a migraine, but
And hydration. I drink a lot every day.
Okay.
Every day I drink at least 2 to 3 liters every day. And that's another preventive method that I use as well.
Right. And that's probably the first thing that they do when you go to the hospital.
Is give you an IV.
Give you an IV. Yep.
Because if you're throwing up, then you're dehydrating, and that makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila, have you ever tried ice or heat? I mean, I guess it can go either way. Different people like different things. A quiet or a dark room, does that assist you when you get a migraine?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a combination. I do ice on either the back of the head, at the base where it meets your neck, forehead, temples, top of the head if I need it. And then I also sit in a hot magnesium Epsom salt bath.
Oh.
There's something about the heat at your wrists and your ankles, especially, that help facilitate flow.
Okay.
And so I do a combination of the ice for the pain, the heat from the bathtub, and then I make my own concoction of an oil blend that has essential oils that's stronger than anything you can get on the market, because I found I like that heavy, 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 intense, menthol, peppermint, wintergreen, all of that, and arnica as well, which helps with inflammation. So I make my own little concoction that I blend up and apply directly onto my forehead and temples and back of neck that I use as well. Of course, the dark spa music, really light, low sounding spa music, and a lot of meditation, the breathing technique.
That was Lita's cue. But that feng shui just really works.
Right.
It really does. And, you know, a combination of all of that, you know, plus meds, of course, if you're at that severe point and you really need it, you know, it takes a lot to work through a migraine, especially a heavy migraine.
Right.
Well, I'm the only one here that has not had a migraine. And I'm knocking wood.
Yeah.
You can hear it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I listen to Lita and I listen to Jean, and I work with some ladies who tell their stories of how they deal with migraines. What is it that you wish people like me or other people knew about migraines? And what do you think is the biggest misconception? From my end, I thought it was like a headache on steroids.
Yeah. Oh, it's a whole host of weird stuff.
Right. So from your perspective, what do you think is the biggest misconception?
Well, that could be a misconception right there, because not all migraines are the same. There are low-level migraines, and then there's really intense, crazy, intense migraines. You know, a lot of times if I have a low level, I might be passing some time doing social media or something. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you had a migraine, there's no way you could be on social media. Yeah. You know, and it's like, well, actually, yeah, I can if it's not a severe one. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody experiences them so differently. There's so many different kinds of migraines. There's so many different personal experiences, your personal perspective. So, you know, yeah, you just don't know unless you start out, oh, you're having a migraine. I'm sorry to hear that you're having a migraine. Is it really intense or not? Or is there anything I can do? Can I maybe, you know, lessen the sound, the environment? Do you, you know, want to go lay down for a bit? I can do the dishes, you know, like, you know, just offering help. But yeah, that's the misconception, is that they're not all the same.
So I guess as a follow-up to that, and again, not experiencing them, what happens if you're driving?
Oh, I've been in that position. It extends the trip. It certainly extends the trip.
If you're pulling over every couple
minutes. I had a migraine. This was a long time ago, and I had to drive. I didn't have a choice. I was on active duty, and I was between posts, and I had to drive from one to the other, even with the migraine, and I just had to pull over, like, every 10 minutes to go up, every five minutes to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible.
Oh, it definitely sounds terrible, but again, when you're in a situation where you can lay down and rest and do it, that's great.
That's ideal.
Right. Or if it's low level, it's not going to really affect you as much. But when you're in a situation where, again, you're on the road or somewhere where you have to have that concentration.
Right.
And all of a sudden, out of the blue, this very overwhelming migraine hits you. I mean, it's like, how do you handle it?
Yeah, that's the hardest thing, right?
For safety, I would say pull over and have someone else drive if you can.
If you could, sure.
If you can, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that experience. I don't have them hit me, like, out of the blue. Mm-hmm. They usually gradually come on for me, so I can either, you know, say, sorry, I can't today, mm-hmm. or I'm calling off. Or if I know I'm going to be away from home for, you know, overnight or more, I definitely pack all my stuff. All my migraines meds go with me.
Okay.
All of my, you know, like essential oil blend that I make, and, you know, I mask, you know, sleep mask, and, you know, these different things, and ice packs. You know, you can buy instant ice packs as well. And so that stuff goes with me because I do not want to be caught somewhere with a crazy migraine and not have a way to relieve it other than whatever I could buy at CVS or something.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes you just kind of have to put on some really super dark sunglasses and push through and, you know, just kind of focus as best as you can. And I mean, I really am big on meditation and relaxation methods because that can help you not focus as much on the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And help lessen that a little bit and, you know, do what you have to do.
Good advice.
Yeah, every little bit helps.
Right.
Yeah, I've had to work nursing shifts with crazy migraines.
Oh, God.
You know? Yeah. And it's hard, you know, when you feel worse than your patient.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you hear all the beeping in the machines constantly. Yeah. Sheila, what have you found to be the best way to track possible triggers? Do you use like an app or do you just make charts or do you use a calendar? What do you do?
I, you know, apps and trackers and that sort of thing came long after I was diagnosed. And I think I figured it out before all those kind of things come on. I've played around with the apps as an adult, but I found they weren't as useful for me because I feel like I understand them a lot more mm-hmm. at my experience level than a lot of people who might not have been diagnosed until they were an adult. So, you know, I recommend them. Mm-hmm. For people who are more newly diagnosed or maybe even longer diagnosed but don't fully understand their migraines as much.
Yeah, it is important to kind of get a handle on it. And I think at least if you're aware of it and you're annotating it, it'll kind of help you when you go to talk to your doctor, right?
Right. Or like you were saying, if it's something that, you know, if it's a recent oncoming thing and you it'll take time to establish what your triggers and stuff are.
So, right.
Yeah. Sheila, I have a question. Since you were, you know, you started having migraines at such a young age and then had them while you were working as well, how do migraines affect your ability to focus?
Well, they definitely do. affect the focus. It depends on, you know, what level of intensity it is that you need to focus on, and can you make adjustments? Can you put it off? Can you, you know, if it's something you can't put off and it's something that does require high focus, then you're not going to be able to give it your all that you normally would if you didn't have a migraine at that moment. And, you know, if, especially if you're, if it's for a boss or somebody that you have to report to for whatever reason, letting them know, you know, being honest, like, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I know this, there's a deadline on this, and I'm just letting you know that I'm going to give it all that I can, but it's not my, my normal 100%.
Okay. Great.
Because of my migraine.
Right. Right.
Well, and again, talking about being diagnosed early on, what advice would you have for someone whose child was recently diagnosed with migraines, or just somebody in general who got recently diagnosed? What would you want to tell them?
Well, definitely make sure that they're getting ruled out for any kind of other complications, such as tumors or whatnot. Definitely learn relaxation techniques. It's funny because I didn't even know that was such a thing. Like, I didn't even know the word meditation or, you know, guided meditation or relaxation or this and that. And I ended up teaching myself that as a child, you know, how to breathe a little bit more easy going, how to slow down, how to do like a head to toe body relaxation out of necessity. Wow. I ended up teaching myself this, which I'm grateful for, but definitely learning those kind of things. And then realize that you are not your diagnosis, no matter what diagnosis you're looking at, migraines or anything else. But what you are is more how you react to your diagnosis and how you handle and how you deal with it. So I see a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, okay, I've got migraines. Now I'm just going to adopt that lifestyle and, you know, start joining groups and whatever everybody else does, like quit their job and say that they can't do this and they can't do that and they can't do this because of their diagnosis. Then it's a form of giving up in a way. So don't own the diagnosis, but own how you react to your diagnosis.
It's a part of you, but it doesn't define who you are.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on this show. For me, I know this has been very, very educational. And I hope for our listeners out there who have not had migraines before that this is educational for you as well. And for those that have had them or continue to have them, I hope this information helps you as well. Tell us how we can learn more about migraine headaches
and your company.
Yeah, your new venture, right?
Yeah, I would love to. Well, I'm a health and wellness coach, and I'm a registered nurse. And so you can always seek me out at aimsalchemy.com. I would love to coach you through migraines if that's what you would like to seek. And then a couple other resources. Migraine.com. There's some great resources on there. And then AmericanMigraineFoundation.com is also another great resource. And I just want to also say that I don't think we really touched on too much with stress and how to manage your stress, because stress is a major trigger that wasn't really explained by dietary or barometric, but stress is such a big factor. So being able to learn how to manage that, which is something I do a lot with coaching. So
good.
Yeah, that's huge. Great advice. Yeah. Actually, we have we wear one of the smartwatch things. Yeah, well, it's not a Fitbit, but it's a Garmin.
Okay.
But it it monitors your pulse rate, and when you're in that flight or fight stage because of anxiety or stress, it vibrates to let you know. So that you're more aware of it, and then you can try to take time to, you know, do a breathing exercise or, you know, something of that nature to, mitigate the stress.
And we will put links for
all those things. Yes.
For all of those things on our website for you.
Yes. Thank you. Those are, wonderful resources.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and TikTok.
Okay. But and Sheila, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to hearing more about your venture. And it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.